You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, we are going to this thing we like to do on Wednesday afternoons. We call it the Grand Council. I bring in two of my brethren who also do talk radio, been doing it longer than me, actually. And we both we kind of ask each other questions and opine about our answers. So that being said, let me just go ahead and call the roll from, let's see, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN up in Huntsville, as well as also writing for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, are you with us?
I am present.
You are indeed. You sound very subdued. Why would that be?
I'm being more professional. That was requested of me on this program. I'm just trying to be a better talk show host.
If we didn't love the old Dale Jackson, we wouldn't have had you on all that time. Just keep that in mind. All right, next, okay. From FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile, and also not only the host of the Jeff Poor Show, but the editor-in-chief of 1819 News, Jeff Poor. Are you with us?
Hoorah!
So now I have lively oorah Jeff Poor, and I have subdued on volume Dale Jackson. I'm not sure what is happening right now. All right, Butters, I for what it's worth, I call a quorum. Go ahead and
assemble,
hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da. Ta-da. All right. I'm almost scared to do a Dale Jackson first, so I'm going to go Jeff Poor first. Go, Jeff.
With the presidential primary, looks like it's wrapping up. It's a formality now. What does the March 5th primary look like in Alabama without a big Super Tuesday contest?
What does it look like in terms of turnout, or what does it look like in terms of who wins?
Both. I mean, I think no turnout, who does that favor? You know, these are things we should start thinking about.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dale. Come on in with your value self and tell us what you think.
I think turnout craters. I mean, absolutely. So if you can get some of those big endorsements that people love so much to send out to their groups to motivate those people into the to come out and vote, if you've got some of these some of this money to get your name out there, and look, a low turnout helps those who advertise an awful lot. Not that that doesn't benefit them anyway, but even more so when there's low turnout.
Yeah, I think what it's going to do is it will affect the down ballot. I mean, we got some statewide races like the Chief Justice race, which is competitive. We've got several others that are on the ballot that you look at and go, how will that impact if the enthusiasm to go support, you know, Donald Trump and MAGA country is not as necessary? I still think you're going to have a decent turnout. I think there's a lot of people that want to sort of get out there and test the waters and make sure that the polls look like they're working the way they're supposed to. But it's definitely going to be lower. I mean, if it's already wrapped up by then, there's going to be a sense of, I guess I don't need to worry about it. Jeff, your own question. What are you thinking?
Yeah, it just makes ground game so more important. It may even make TV advertising a little more important. But I think that the campaigns that can really, they're really hitting the ground and not trying to airbomb like Luther Strange in 17 or any other time, then they're going to have more success.
Well, we'll wait and see. But I think this primary season is pretty much already sewn up. I mean, it's a given. Absent any kind of legal ruling that impacts his ability to stay on the ballot, I would say that Trump has, you know, got it wrapped up. Speaking of which, though, I'll take the next question. The game is on right now. The bookies are laying odds as to who's going to wind up being the VP pick for a Trump run. And just the other day, Newsmax comes out and says they think Alabama's Katie Britt. Your thoughts on this? Dale Jackson, you first.
I did not see that story. Did they actually say that she's the front runner?
The guy who was, what's his name, Halperin, Mark Halperin, said that he's all in on this idea. He thinks that Katie Britt is the pick. Now, he's the only one saying it, but it's still out there.
don't know. I've been saying it for a couple weeks. I think it's a smart move all the way around. But I could see it. She's a fresh face. Definitely the people that they want to reach might be inclined to see Katie Britt as something that they would like. So, yeah, I could see that. I don't know if that's the answer, but it will be somebody with similar characteristics.
Jeff Rowe, what are you thinking, buddy?
She's a long shot, but I don't think it's totally out of the realm. What I would say about that, I'd say think about this possibility. If Katie Britt's the VP, would Tommy Tuberville go and be in the cabinet? There's a big possibility of that, near certainty, if Trump wins. And what happens if you're two open Senate seats in 2025 in Alabama?
Well, then, fine, I'll run.
Then Dale Jackson's in. He's in. I'm just saying. At that point, I'm his chief of staff, and Dale Jackson is the candidate.
K-Ivy will appoint me.
Yeah, and everybody wants to be K-Ivy's friend at that point. I'm going to tell you right now. All right, yeah, I tend to agree. I think there's a possibility here. He endorsed her, obviously. He likes her. She's got the ability to do retail politics anywhere and everywhere. My only thing is she's so new in the Senate that I think some will look at this and go, does she have the street cred yet?
Now, so an outsider.
Well, there's that. She'd have the outsider kind of, you know, feel to it, and then some folks would look at it and go, is she also gonna bring in or alienate the centrist faction that's so concerned about Trump right now? Give me your quick thoughts on that.
Oh, she'll bring them in. She'll be viewed as a moderate to those folks. I think she could definitely hit those people.
What?
Wait till the media has their way with her. They really haven't. And I don't know, like, what they would go off of, but if you are the Republican vice presidential nominee or a possibility, the media will be pretty – the left-wing media, the mainstream media will be pretty brutal.
All right. You're right. But she escaped all of that in her run. That's true. And maybe there's something out there.
You had Mo Brooks on the other side. It was like a bigger evil in their eyes, right?
Right. That's why I said she escaped it. You're right. I'm agreeing with you.
But can you imagine, though, and I would pay good money. I would lay down good money to watch a Kamala Harris and Katie Britt debate. She would tee off on Kamala Harris. It would be hilarious. Nobody wants to take that one up. Just silence.
Not really.
All right, Dale Jackson.
Hard pass.
What have you got today, Dale?
All right, it sounds like everybody wants to talk about school choice all of a sudden. It makes me believe that there is some real chance that this might actually become a thing. Are they serious about it in the way Dale Jackson wants it, or is the AEA going to get some watered-down version of a bill? They're talking about education savings accounts and things like that. That sounds great. There's also some talk about maybe potentially qualifiers in order to qualify for the money if you're a school. That sounds terrible. Are we going to get the right bill, or are we just going to get something to say we did it?
Well, this something to say we did it is what concerns me. In fact, I just had a moment ago, I had Paul DeMarco on the show, and his right out the gate, one of his concerns is the very idea that a school system would be required to take in somebody from outside the system. And I said, well, you know, Paul, if someone's willing to make up the difference in the local taxes they don't otherwise pay and they have capacity available, I don't think they can keep them out. And he said, well, and I know what he's thinking of. He's thinking of Mountain Brook. That's exactly what he's thinking of. Mountain Brook does not want to take in the inner city. They're scared to death of it. So I see that, and I see the accountability question, like the state superintendent somehow vouching for whether or not a private school is meeting standards. That's not going to fly. Those are the things that will be the debate, I believe. Jeff?
Well, look, the Mountain Brook folks, the Madison folks, they've got to get over it. Any kids that come in there from out of the area are going to have kids with highly motivated parents. They're not going to be problems.
That's right. You're right.
And it's incredibly – I mean, I'll tell you, it's incredibly – I would say elitist, and I would think easily defeatable, that attitude.
No, I agree with you. I'm on your side completely on this. I'm just telling you, those are going to be the debates right now. Yeah. Jeff, weigh in here. What are you thinking?
I'm taking a Paul DeMarco side here. If you want to go to Madison schools, you want to go to Mountain Brook schools, move to Mountain Brook, move to Madison, pay the taxes. If they don't want you there, why should you be obligated staff. I don't care if the parents are motivated or not, because the people who live in those communities have been paying property taxes, higher property taxes, for good schools. Is it right to say you have to admit this person into your school system? I don't think that's right at all, number one. But we ask this question every week. And I mean, it'd be a Debbie Downer here, but the more you hear and everybody's got their own proposal, the less I think that there's a concerted effort led by the governor that is going to get through. It's going to take one unified effort. And if there's 50 different ideas to put out, forget about it.
Yeah, it becomes gambling again.
Yeah, well, I was about to say, that's what happens, is if you have multiple competing bills, it does become the big fuss on the floor, who's got the better version, and the next thing you know, it becomes a power struggle in the House and the Senate. But I'll be honest with you, Jeff, I'm not with you on this whole thing. You can live literally across the street from the Madison City School District, and that school is closer to you than the worst school you go to because of your zip code. And I don't think they can say, and if you're willing to make up the difference, like, I'll bring in the extra $4,000 it takes that you would have gotten if I had paid property taxes in your district, and my kids should be able to go there because the money comes from Montgomery otherwise. And I think that's got to have to be considered.
No.
Yes, it does.
No, because it doesn't all come from Montgomery.
No, it doesn't all. Are you missing the whole thing of what I'm saying? I mean, we got to take a break. The bottom line is a huge chunk of that money comes from Montgomery. You know it.
But the local taxes build the brick and mortar that this school is on that was paid for by the taxpayers of that municipality, of that school system. And you're going to force this upon them? That is like socialism.
Did you hear what I just said a moment ago about making up the difference on the taxes that weren't otherwise paid?
Well, I don't want to make up
You're missing that part altogether.
What if they don't want that? What if they don't want the $6,000 or $4,000? They just say, no, leave us alone. We're not taking your kids.
And I'm saying that argument's not going to fly. I'm saying that elitist argument is not going to fly because that's what school choice
is. It is personal responsibility.
Yeah, it is.
You are a
All right, turn him down because we got good God almighty.
They have to go and allow people in their school.
Dang.
Where is Jeff? Is this really Jeff Poor? We got to go to a break, brother. All right, listen, we're taking a break right now. Ran long, but we'll come right back. Round two of the Grand Council with a very energetic Jeff Poor and a rather subdued and somewhat professional Dale Jackson. What in God's name is happening in my world right now? I do not know where we are. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. That's where we are. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Going right back to round number two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. First question, round two, Jeff Poor, if you have recovered, what you got?
Yeah, I got to lower my blood pressure here before I go in. I'm about to moderate a Barry Moore, Jerry Carl debate.
Oh, wow.
No, get ramped up. Get mad so they start fighting each other.
We need to fire you up some more. What else can we throw at you?
Anyway, so... The Carl campaign's got a little negative on Barry, well, really negative on Barry Moore. And I don't know if y'all are watching this from afar, what you think, but, like, do winning campaigns go negative at this stage in a campaign, do you think, or do they think that they're playing from behind?
You take it first, Dale. What you got?
I mean, it just all depends what they think the tea leaves are going to show. I mean, there's a lot that can happen here. These are big issues in a primary where there's two Republicans. Donald Trump hasn't really jumped in and said anything about either. I think did he endorse Jerry Carl? No, because they're both congressmen. They didn't endorse anybody, right? So yeah, so I just think that you got to do all the damage you can because you don't know what's going to happen in that race. So yeah, I think you just got to wreck shop, and that's what you have to do.
I think that there's a tendency for negative to be the thing you're doing trying to catch up, But, you know, you can watch some rate. Like Donald Trump, he's not afraid to go negative even when he's 60 points ahead. I mean, he's, you know, he'll have the special nickname for somebody. He'll have the speech that, you know, tears him down a notch. But in this case, I think it's partly because Jerry Carl is struggling and recognizes his numbers are not where they're supposed to be. So you're gonna moderate this thing tonight, huh?
Yeah, well, me and Peter Albrecht and I of WKRG and I are going to co-moderate, but it's on the Baldwin County Facebook page streaming tonight at 6 o'clock. If anybody is that interested in this race, but on the negativity thing, I'm kind of surprised, and I got to thinking about it that it does seem like, well, maybe this is how they think they got to claw back, but is it also a possibility they just have more money at their disposal and they needed to throw it at something? So I think that's at play.
Well, I don't know. They do. Carl does have more money right now, right?
Yes, by far.
How much of that was like already in his war chest, and how much of that did he raise during this campaign?
Most of it is raised during the campaign. I think cash on hand that he's got Barry 2-1, but a lot of Barry Moore's money was war chest. So now all of this is based on the last report, and all the money coming in now is probably a totally different picture.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see how that goes. Right now, though, last time I saw, the numbers still showed that Barry Moore was leading by, 3 or 4 points, I think, in the polls. And you would know.
Yeah, I'll say one thing on that. We haven't seen a lot of polling, have we? And that makes me think that the establishment guy is, they're getting behind Jerry Carl. If Jerry Carl were up, wouldn't you think we'd see a Signal poll or another Forestry poll or one of this would be made public?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, we shall see. Hey, listen, we got about a minute and a half to 2 minutes. Let me ask you this real quick. Next question, legislative session about to kick off here pretty soon in the State House. And there's a bill that would cap property taxes at, you know, their annual potential reassessments. I think it's biannual now, but nonetheless, they went up exponentially this year. Do you consider this to be a good government bill? So far, what I know of it, I do. Dale, you first. What do you got?
Yeah, I think that you got to give people some form predictability for where their rates are going to go. And if it's going out of control and spinning out of control, maybe there's some issues there. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know the particulars of this, but I don't have a problem with that.
Jeffro?
Yeah, with the inflation in the housing market and everything, and appraisals, I think it's something Ainsworth's going to get behind, it sounds like, and I think just because the lieutenant governor will be there lobbying for it, it will do well.
I would tend to agree. All right, last question with less than a minute. Dale, have you got like a smell question for us or something?
Yeah, can you smell nitrogen gas when you're gassing a monster who beat someone to death with a fireplace poker and stabbed her a bunch of times?
Well, according to the pastor who doesn't even want to be in the room anymore, it's that scary. So, but the Supreme Court just said a little while ago, we're not stopping this case. We're not stopping it.
I'm willing to put that guy's life at risk to test this out.
We're fully prepared for the mass murderer to go ahead and be a guinea pig on nitrogen hypoxia.
Can we add like a floral scent to it or something, maybe? So
there's
it's not
something,
totally
yeah.
Unexpected.
Not the rotten egg smell from natural gas. We want a floral scent. So basically you smell
just
the roses.
Pleasant. One last odoriferous emanation before my life route.
Well, thank you, Dale, for helping this to devolve into something we didn't need to be in.
Try my best. Next time, I'll just scream at everyone. No, listen to me.
All right. Hey, Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5 Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show, editor-in-chief, 1819 News. And, oh, by the way, Dale Jackson, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN in Huntsville, and Yellowhammer News. And just little old me, the Grand Council. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.